Let's stand for the reading of God's word on the spirit of anxiety. It says in Psalm 34, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Magnify, a very key word. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. Let us exalt, which means let's express how grateful we are for the greatness of our God, right? I sought the Lord, and he heard me. Grateful we have a God who hears us. A lot of people serve gods that have no ears to hear, even though they construct them on the idols that they worship. They can't hear. But our God hears us and delivered me from what? All my fears. So, Father, you've delivered us. That's your promise. You delivered us from our fears. Thank you. This is a paralyzing spirit that's gripped not only individuals, but our nation in many ways. It's a spirit of intimidation, but that's not what you granted us. You gave us power and love and soundness of thinking in our minds. So we rejoice in this liberty. Let us live in this liberty. Let us act out this liberty with freedom and expression and thanksgiving to the one who provides it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Magnify the Lord with me. What an interesting statement. And here's the question. How do you magnify something that already fills the universe? How do you magnify that? God's all pervasive. He's everywhere. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. Through him. He's speaking of Jesus, the Son. Through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made things we can see and things we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms, rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else. Think about this. You ought to dwell on that one for a little bit of a study and meditation. Created everything through him and for him. Those all belong to him at his fingertips. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Holds it all together. Everything that we enjoy is held together by the one who made it. So he just didn't make it and go away. He's very well engrossed in the making sure that everything functions the way it's supposed to. And then Revelation says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Man, God's the critical component of everything that exists. He's the critical component of everything that exists. Man cannot create anything. Think about that for a second. Man can take what God has created and build from that, right? But man cannot create anything. Because the definition of create means to invent the components from which things come. Man just builds on what God already created. So the physicist tells us that the wood that your seat is constructed from consists of molecules and atomic particles, neutrons, protons, and electrons. Wood is a living substance. If broken down, you'll find its components, those electrons, protons, and neutrons. But here's the amazing part of this. The physicist says they can't figure this out. They can't unravel it under the most powerful microscopes that break down all the components of everything that we enjoy on Earth. They cannot discern it with any probe they've ever invented. There is an unseen force. They call it the turning force. That force acts on those electrons, protons, and neutrons and causes them to function together. And they cannot describe what that is. No one can come up with a definition of what it is that causes those atomic particles to function together to make wood as we know it in a tree. And then out of that, we construct things that we enjoy and live with, or anything else that's been created. They can't figure out how those things are held, those particles are held together, what keeps them moving in the right direction and causes them to manifest in particular ways so that we enjoy all the benefits of our creation. Well, I'd like to help those that are struggling with trying to figure out what that is. Locked inside of those atomic particles and molecules and atoms is the Word of God. God opened his mouth and said, "Let there be light." And the sun was created in all of its elements, which produce for us light and heat. He called into existence the stars that filled the sky, and he named every single one of them. They sparkle like diamonds on black velvet, and every one of them he created and placed exactly where he wants them. God, who is almighty and powerful, holds together the entire universe, all that he created. The word says, he hung the worlds. God stretches the northern sky over the empty space and hangs the earth on nothing. You can't hang your hat on nothing, okay? But God took nothing and made it into something. And he took something and he hangs it out on nothing. God created the earth and he said, rotate. And earth and all the planets of our solar system are rotating because God willed that into existence and maintains it. Now, Pastor Michael used to have these little cars I would buy him from time to time. The kind that when you would take them and run the wheels against the floor, they would build up momentum inside of them. Remember those? The more you rev them up, the faster and the longer they would go along the floor. But sooner or later, they stopped. Friction slowed them and stopped them. And one of the laws that we all deal with on Earth, God, who created the planets and set them rotating, said, spin. And his word is so powerful, Earth will not stop rotating. How in the world do you magnify a God who is in everything that you can see? Here's the key. Magnification doesn't alter the size of the object that you're studying. Doesn't alter it. Just makes it larger for your eyes to see. I have a magnifying glass. Any of you ever use those? Now, this is different than the one I used to have when I was a kid. Now, this is more sophisticated. And it's a little larger lens. And if you use a magnifying glass to look at the Bible and to look at what it means and what it says, the Bible is what it is. It's the Word of God. It's not altered. It's not larger. It's not smaller. A magnifying glass does not make the subject any larger. It just enlarges it to me. It makes it a little easier for my eyes to pick up. When I was a kid, one of the favorite things I used to do was play with a magnifying glass. Any of you ever do that when you were younger in your life? And they used to be round ones with a little handle on them. I didn't have a Nintendo Switch when I was a kid. So all I had was a magnifying glass. So I loved it. And when I went outside into the sun, I would use it to spot and look at the smaller insect population. Did you ever do that? And you could see them blown up in your eyes. And you could see them a little more detail than if you were just trying to watch them with your natural eye. Now, Dave Reaver and I had something in common with our magnifying glasses. We would go out and look for big black carpenter ants. And every once in a while, when we'd see a group of them, we'd just focus a little beam of sunlight through that magnifying glass. And poof. Yeah. That's kind of a boy thing. She didn't like that when she watched Dave doing that. She went, ew. Yeah, okay. You can't make God bigger than he is. But when you begin to magnify him, like the psalmist said, it enlarges him to you. Too much of our culture sees God as insignificant, as just some possible influence for some specific religious people, as kind of ambiguous, kind of like Congressman Nadler said, I think it was Friday, when he made the statement, in relationship to the Equality Act. God's will is of no concern for this Congress. End quote. So some people have that perspective about God. They're in for quite an awakening when they transition. When you use a telescope, you have to focus it, right? This is what the church is supposed to do. People are supposed to come in contact with us, and we're supposed to focus and magnify God. We're supposed to make him loom larger than the culture wants to perceive him. The rings around Saturn exist, but with the naked eye, you're not going to see them. It will, if you take a telescope and point it at Saturn in the heavens, it magnifies that planet until you can see the rings around Saturn. Have you ever had that privilege of seeing that? I mean, live, watching that in the sky? That's incredible. You see what already exists. It's already there. We don't have to invent something about Saturn. Saturn is what it is. It has rings. Whether we can see them from Earth or not doesn't change it at all. But when we use a telescope, all of a sudden, we get to look into this and focus this device. This is magnificent, isn't it? And you get to see Saturn with all of its rings. You get to see the big storm on Jupiter. I mean, I'm telling you, the Lord is your healer. You just can't see it. God is the restorer of your marriage. You just can't see it. God is your provider, but all too many have not seen that attribute of God magnified. Magnification is simply allowing God to reveal something to you that already exists. And all of a sudden, when you need it most, God manifests it for you, and you see God in a way you've never known him before. The Holy Spirit reveals something. Many people look through the wrong end of the telescope. Instead of magnifying God, like this will do when you look into this, you know, you begin to move it around a little bit, and it rotates. Isn't this cool? Look. I can see you now. That's good. Oh, you forgot that blemish over here. Sorry about that. Anyway, you get on this side of it, and you try to look this way, it shrinks everything you're looking at when you look into it this way. A lot of Christians are looking at God like this. Even our culture is looking at God in the wrong direction and not recognizing that you need to look at God from the right perspective, right? They've looked through the telescope of life. They see God through the perspective of how they view things. And this is how they look at God. They look through the wrong end, okay? They see him distant and that he's tiny, that he's out there on the brink of the universe somewhere, but he's of no value to the current problems that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. That's exactly what the enemy wants everybody to think. He wants you to think, yeah, there's a real God. He's way out there. He's so far removed and so far above you. With all the problems you've got going on and him so far away, you can't count on him to do anything for you. I'm here to tell you, please look through the right end of the telescope. Because you need to magnify the Lord in your life and see him for who he really is. Faith and fear are both in this telescope. It just depends which end you decide to look through. 365 times God says in his word, fear not. But listen to the language of some, even in the church. They talk fear. They talk anxiety. They speak about depression. They speak about defeat. When's the last time you ask someone, how are you feeling? And they say, I feel like I'm coming down with something, you know. Why don't people say, praise God, I'm being healed. Praise the Lord, I've got divine health on my side. Receive your healing. Instead of whining and complaining and being negative and looking in the wrong end of the telescope, look at the right end of the telescope and magnify the Lord with me and exalt his name. Amen? Change perspectives. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, fear not. And then he gives you three good reasons why we should not fear. He said, I am he that lives. He said, I am he who was dead. And he said, I am he who is alive forevermore. So of all the fears in the human race that we experience, any of these three fears would serve as receptacles for all the fears that we accumulate throughout our walk and our daily lives. They'll fit into one of those three categories. I am he who lives, the fear of life and what it brings for a lot of people. That's why people commit suicide. They're fearful of what tomorrow is going to bring. They're so fearful of what life is bringing to them, so afraid of what it's going to look like on the other side when the sun comes up tomorrow. He said, I'm he who was dead. That's the fear of death. I'm not afraid to die today because Jesus conquered death. He said, fear not about death. Fear not about life. I'm alive forevermore. Fear of the future. Some are so fearful of the future. I wonder what's going to happen. I wonder what this guy's going to do. I wonder what that group is going to do. I wonder what's going to happen politically. What's going to happen economically? What's going to happen? What am I going to do? And they live in this anxiety and fear. And of course, if all you do is watch certain television networks, they're just going to keep shoveling the coal into the fire for you. Hear the truth. You remember David, you remember him facing Goliath as a young boy. Not only did David have a stone for Goliath, the word points out that David had collected 5 smooth stones. He had 4 more for Goliath's brothers. And God allowed David 4 more stones, 1 for each of those giants in that family. God has already given you the ammunition that you need to secure the future. There may be a shortage of ammunition in our community that you use when you go target shooting, but there is no shortage of ammunition that God provides you when you engage your enemy. So you're not supposed to be afraid and enter the future with fear because God is with us. You have to turn the perspective around. You've lived in the shadows of fear too long in your life. God's great. And greatly to be praised. Satan is puny. And if your God is too small, because you're looking through the wrong end of the telescope, then turn this thing around the way you're supposed to and look at it from the direction that it's intended to be looked at through, right? And then focus and work this thing, which is fantastic. You can set this thing so it will find any specific planet in our solar system, once you have engaged it with the North Star and how that set does all the settings, and then in the computer room, the brain of this thing, you can find any planet in the solar system with a click of a button. Isn't it amazing? Yeah, and thank God hung all of those in place. But get your perspective so you can see all that God has provided for you. I have a telescope lens here with me that you can interchange with the lens that's on there. So we can see even more clearly when we're looking for specific things, and we put this lens on the telescope, and all of a sudden, what I can see well with that, I can see even better with this other lens that I put onto the telescope, and I'm starting to look through. Instead of the lens of fear, let's make sure we're looking through the lens of faith. Amen? Stop shrinking God. Don't shrink him down to earthly levels. Stop downsizing God. When we magnify God, we shrink the problem. That's what David said. He looked at this giant nearly 10 feet tall, looked at himself in comparison, and then figures there's no way this is ever going to happen until he began to recognize the God I serve is bigger than any giant I'm going to face out on the battlefield. My God will take you down in a heartbeat. See, we magnify the Lord. If you're looking through the side that magnifies, listen, then you look through the opposite end. Well, instead of magnifying, now you're shrinking everything in the wrong direction. So it's important we look through the right lens. Look through the lens of Scripture. Look through the lens of praise. Look through the lens that magnifies the Lord to you. Faith is getting in your car, and you look at this big windshield, and you drive forward. Fear is getting in your car, and all you do is look up into the rearview mirror, and you keep looking at the rearview mirror all the time, you're probably going to have an accident if you keep paying more attention to the rearview mirror than where you're going, right? It depends on which way you're looking. Are you looking in faith? Or are you looking in fear? When we magnify God, we shrink the devil. When we shrink the circumstances of life, then we recognize God is bigger than what I'm facing in life. Fear will eat you alive in our day. And I've watched that happen to countless numbers of people that are living under the oppressiveness and depressiveness of fear. And when that pressure is applied, that fear is applied, and that anxiety is applied, it comes out in different ways. I mean, you know, you squeeze just long enough and hard enough, and sooner or later something's going to ooze out, some crack somewhere. It's going to find a way to escape. And I've watched mechanisms go off, and people are like, wow, oh my goodness, fear will eat you alive. Anxiety will wear you out. And if you live in constant anxiety, you're exhausted emotionally. Depression and despondency will overtake you. You'll awaken in the middle of the night and you're going to wonder, God, what am I going to do? What am I supposed to do with this? In that moment, you have to make a decision. Are you going to turn the lens around and magnify the Lord? Or are you going to keep looking at God from this direction and see him only this big in your circumstance? I see God as bigger than anything I can ever face in my life. Turn it around. God is magnified against the backdrop of all my problems. I have shrunk the devil. Amen? Say, I have shrunk the devil. God wants you vitally alive. In the Song of Solomon, the bridegroom says to the bride, arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come. The first word, arise, in the Hebrew is the word kumi. Kumi means rise, right? It's one of God's favorite words in all of the scripture. And his word to the church is kumi, rise. God's will for us is not to fail, is not to be tripped up or to fall or to lay down on the job or wallow in our failures and our mistakes. God's word to us is rise. He doesn't want us to fall. God the Father is rooting for his kids. His word to you is, kumi, rise. Rise up from despair. Rise up from anxiety. Rise up from failures and stumbling. Rise up from the past and sorrow and bondage. Rise up from years of slumber. Rise up from your failings. He has a perfect plan for your life. He commands joy into your life. We should be living with joy and peace and righteousness in this day. So just say yes to God when he says kumi to you and rise. Amen? Kumi. Lach kumi rahati. Rise up, my beloved, my beautiful one. That's what he's telling his bride today. He's trying to awaken us. I'm trying to get us to where we're supposed to be and the way we're supposed to live out our lives in excellence before the Lord, with trust and a sense of peace and joy filling our hearts. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. The bridegroom we serve has never failed, has never stumbled, and never will. Extend the telescope of praise and magnify the Lord with me. You're looking at your troubles so long and so hard, you have your eyes on natural things so much that you start looking through the wrong end of that telescope. Magnify God and your problems will begin to shrink. Worry shrinks. Debt shrinks. Cancer diagnosis can be reversed. Turn the lens around. God is bigger than cancer. Thank the Lord. He's greater than what I'm looking at, right? He's bigger than the problem you have with your children. You don't know who your God is. Magnify him. See him for who he is. When you search the word of God and he begins to reveal himself to you by the power of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, God begins to get magnified in your life and you begin to see things about him you never knew existed. that maybe you hoped for or maybe heard about, but now you own it because you specifically have seen that about your Heavenly Father. In Numbers 13, the word records that there were 12 spies sent out to look into the promised land and what it held. Moses told them to go out and spy out the promised land and then bring back some fruit, bring back some of the goodies from that land. So he sends them out on a tour of the promised land. Tells them, go out the land, check it all out, see what the inhabitants are like, check out the walls of the cities, see what kind of fortresses they built. And here's what the church has done far too long. The church gets on the tour bus, and we go touring around, and we look, well, that's too big, that wall's too high. Moses told them to go and check out the fruit, and then he said, and be of good courage. It was before they ever saw anything in that land. He said, be of good courage. That's like a hint of what they were going to look at, some of the things that were going to be waiting for them when they arrived there. And the word says that one cluster of grapes in the promised land was so large it took two men to carry it on a pole on their shoulders between them so it wouldn't drag the ground. You're going to see some large fruit growing there. One cluster took two guys with a pole between them to carry it. But Moses had given them a hint, and preaching is announcing what you should see before you do see. And if you'll listen while I'm preaching, God will show you what you're supposed to see before you ever see it. Because God's word opens to you revelation of who he is and what he has for you. That's what anointed preaching should do. Fears turn the lenses the wrong way and make problems larger. When you start looking from the wrong end, your fearful end, you start seeing problems then as larger and God as smaller and tinier and incapable of helping you. So you scramble around trying to find whatever resource you can put your hands on, and you think somehow you're going to fix it yourself. Do you know what those spies did? They go into the promised land, and instead of seeing grapes, they saw the giants. They all saw the same things, all 12 of them, but 10 of them magnified the giants instead of the grapes. They had their lenses turned around, and they were looking through the lenses of fear. They saw their God as too small, and they magnified the problem. We have to learn to live by faith. God will cause you to remain in an arena of faith, in a battlefield of faith, because we can't please God without faith. And if you're not operating in faith, you're not giving God any pleasure. God loves it when his people are out of their comfort zone, and we have to trust him. We don't have anywhere else to turn but to trust the Lord, and we've got to see him come through in our circumstance. God loves it when we thought we were going to be able to work it out, and we had it all mapped out, and then everything evaporated on our face. Now we've got to look again and trust in the Lord and magnify our God. Amen? I've been preaching long enough to have learned a couple things. Okay? Don't get your eyes or hope built in any man or woman. Keep your eyes magnifying the Lord. That's what this device does. It gathers in all the possible options of light emanating from planets or stars, whatever we're focused on, and it condenses all of that and magnifies it. So all of a sudden, you get to see the details you never saw before, ever, with your natural eye. So don't get your eyes or hope built on any man or woman. Keep your eyes magnifying the Lord. Amen? And so you're looking at the circumstances and you recognize how tough they are, and they're not good and they're bad. But remember, God is good. And that's who you're serving. And God is faithful. And he's here with you right now in your circumstance. We are hard-pressed, Paul wrote, on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Jesus never promised that you wouldn't have difficult moments or giants to face or battles to come against. In John 10, he said, for the thief, Satan, doesn't come except to steal, kill, and to destroy. But he said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. It means things like this are going to happen, and they're going to loom large, and they're going to make you afraid, and you're going to get fearful, and they're going to look magnified to you. But you win anyways if you appropriate and see Jesus through the lens of his word, what he purchased for us at the cross. The enemy may come against us one way. He will flee seven different ways. Come on, thank the Lord for that. That's his promise to you. When you're under an attack, it's hard. Being pressed and but not crushed is not comfortable. Nobody wants to get pressed or perplexed or persecuted or even struck down. But what that does is it causes us to magnify our prayer efforts. What it does, it pushes us to places we never would have gone voluntarily. It means we will pray in the Spirit during our lunch hour with tears running down our cheeks, right? It means you'll get up and you'll put one foot in front of the other all day long, even when your body says and your mind says to stay in bed. Life is horrible, right? But you get up because you've magnified the Lord and you know he will help you. Sometimes it means you suck in another breath and another breath, and you decide, with God's help, I'm going to get through this crisis. It means you stand up and you worship God no matter how you feel, because God is still God and greatly to be praised. Amen? No, it's through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions do not fail, right? They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And how do you come to that conclusion? You have magnified the Lord. Great is his faithfulness. Mercies are new every morning. He never fails us. So if you're feeling pressed and persecuted and prosecuted and frustrated, make the decision to worship God and magnify him anyways. So the spies, they go into the land, and 10 of them magnify the giants. All of them saw the same exact things. Two of them said, we see them too, but we're able to take them. With God's help, we know who God is. We look at him through the lens of his greatness. We recognize the phenomenal power that our God has. He just delivered us out of the hand of the Pharaoh of Egypt. He's going to deliver us from any giants that we face. But 10 of them could never see it and never lived long enough to step across the line into that promised land, because they chose not to magnify the Lord, but to magnify the giants that we're going to face. Man, it's the difference between winning and losing, isn't it? Anybody ever been to Universal Studios? Yeah. I don't know if they still have this, because it's been a long time since I've been to Universal. We've been to Disney, of course, but not Universal in a long time. Used to be, so just in case they may have changed it. Used to be. You would go through the park on a little trolley, and they would have Jaws on one side. Anybody remember that? And an earthquake on the other side of the trolley. So you could look out this side, and it was right? And okay, and then you look out the other side, there'd be an earthquake going on all at the same time. And if you didn't pay attention to look back and forth, you would miss one of the exhibits. So in church, there are some Christians like that. They're looking the wrong way. They're over here trying to figure out, how does this work? How do you see God through this? You're looking out of the wrong side of the thing. You're not got the perspective that you're supposed to have. So you can't have the grapes without fighting the giants. Magnify the potential, not the problem. Make sure that you get things in perspective. God says, don't look at the giants. I want you to see the bounty and the benefit I'm going to bring you, because I will fight for you. I'm with you. You can do this. The word says that David slew Goliath and he cut off his head. At the end of that encounter, he cut off his head, and the word reveals something out of that. If you want to get ahead, you have to kill some giants. Always have to do that. You'll never get ahead in life without facing down some giants, right? You're not going to go down to Walmart and buy the heavyweight championship belt of the boxing world. I remember when we went to see Evander Holyfield fight in a heavyweight championship fight. That was quite a bout. Barry, you were there out in Phoenix area or Las Vegas area, excuse me. And we had we were down front. We sat in front of Oscar De La Hoya. We had better seats than he had. We were right down because Evander made it possible for us to sit down close because we had sponsored an outdoor Christian rally for him. And when you hear the pounding of the glove against flesh, you go, wow, how's that guy still standing there, right? And the sweat's flying everywhere, and you're watching stuff going on in that ring like you don't see on TV. And I was like, holy cow, wow, how are these guys still walking around? And of course, the winner, he gets to put the belt on, and he walks around the stage because he has won the heavyweight championship of the world. And you don't go buy one of those down at the corner store. You have to get into the ring, and you have to fight for it. It's not just handed to you because you breathe air. If you get to wear the belt, and if you ever watch these fighters, and we got to spend a little time with him, listen, these people are in phenomenal shape. They are not prissy. Oops, that was an Equality Act violation, I guess. Excuse me. Yeah. After a fight, their eyes are swollen, their lips are split open, their noses are crooked, their eyebrows are bloodied and split, their ears are bitten off sometimes, and they understand if you want the belt, you got to get in the ring. You're not going to have the belt without getting in the ring and slugging it out. And somebody needs to quit whining about the giants and understand if you magnify God, he's bigger. I said he's bigger. Giants shrink in God's presence. You know what they said? 10 of those spies. We're in our own sight as grasshoppers. How you view yourself is how your enemy is going to view you. We're in our own sight as grasshoppers. We asked the enemy, and he agreed with us, you're just grasshoppers. That's all you are to us as grasshoppers. Again, looking through the wrong end of this thing. How you view yourself is how the enemy's going to look at you. The enemy doesn't recognize your authority until you recognize your authority in Christ. That's why the devil, the demon in that person, in those sons of Sceva in Acts said, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? Who are you? And if you don't know who you are, the devil doesn't care who you think you are, but if you know who you are in Christ, a chosen generation, his own special people, a royal priesthood, and magnify the God that has fathered you into the eternal world, they said, well, we're like grasshoppers because they were looking through the wrong end of the telescope. They were not looking through the right end of the telescope. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. Average grasshopper is about an inch long. They're tiny little things. There's some bigger ones, but about an inch. Average height of a male is about 5'10". And when they said, we're like grasshoppers, that's a 70-1 ratio. So what they were saying was the average man being 70 inches tall, we saw giants. And if you start doing the calculation, that means to them, 1 inch, they were 420 feet tall. Okay? The devil loves to exaggerate your problems. He takes what God handed you and tries to reverse the thing on you so you see him looming larger than you see God looming larger. The devil loves to turn the lens around and magnify the problem. Make God look so tiny and the problem so big, my Lord, the giants are 420 feet tall. What I've learned is the things that want to keep me up, tossing and turning and worried, by the time the devil gets through with it, it's massive. It's huge. And most is just a much ado about nothing. When they were wailing at the funeral in the New Testament and mourning She's dead. She died. Jesus walked into that room in that moment, and he makes a powerful statement, so powerful that even Shakespeare quoted him. You make much ado about nothing, okay? I'm here to curse anxiety in somebody's life and tell you half the stuff you're worried about, listen, is not going to happen. And if the rest of it manifests, magnify God because he's bigger than anything that you're going to face. Anything. Magnify the Lord with me. Amen? And of course, Jesus said, she's not dead, she's sleeping. He's got this entire life and death and eternity thing all totally covered in his hands. Don't despair. Watch what I can do. Magnify the Lord. Gain the right perspective. The right perspective means things that are supposed to be small, let them be small. Things that are supposed to be large, big, let them be big and large. Many are frustrated, you know, by the chihuahuas in life. They get, they're nipping at you all the time and yapping and sapping your strength and your victory. There was a great black preacher in Chicago. We went and visited him one time. And what a great man of God. This guy had a fabulous church, fantastic group of people, and served the Lord and served each other. And we could learn some lessons from what we saw in that church that day. It was fantastic. R.D. Hinton, what a fantastic man. And loved the Lord. His people loved the Lord. We walked into that service. They didn't know us at all, the people that greeted us. And they looked at us. First question they asked, said, are you a minister? And I said, I am. You're coming with us. All the way down to, phenomenally trained and well put together and gracious as any church you've ever been in your life. And he preached the message he used to call, watch them dogs, okay? And he would tell in that message the story of the chihuahua, a little feisty critter, right? And he told that little dog, chihuahua, that would run out to the fence every day. In some of those cities like Chicago, some of those neighborhoods, they would have a front yard fence, not just the backyard fencing like we have, but they have a front yard fence, okay? And this home had a front yard fence, and that little chihuahua would come out the front door and then run along that front yard fence line, yapping all the time, up and down that fence line. And there was a neighborhood Doberman that would come down that sidewalk and walk right across the front of that fence. So that little chihuahua would come out and knew the fence was there, of course, and bark and yap and chase that Doberman up and down that fence line. Yap, 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 yap. Follow that big Doberman down that fence every single day when that Doberman would take his walk and tried to intimidate the Doberman with that yap. And that big Doberman just kept his head held high and he'd just keep walking down that fence line. Not a care in the world. Didn't care that dog was yapping at his heels all the time, day after day, day after day. And R.D. was telling this story, and he said, one day the little chihuahua ran up and started yapping at the Doberman, and they both arrived at the gate at the same time, but this day someone had left the gate open. And the Doberman did a left-hand turn and ran inside and tore that chihuahua to pieces. Ripped him and slung him around, tore an ear clear off, and then just pranced out back onto the sidewalk. And the poor little chihuahua limped up to the front porch. And the pastor said that the chihuahua opened his mouth and said, who in the left the gate open? Okay? And R.D. preached it like it was. In the city, man, no one blinked like you did. He just let it out, right? Now, let me make this real spiritual. The devil is the chihuahua. You're a child of the Most High God. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Turn the lens around. Put your head up in the air. Throw your shoulders back. Greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? Yeah. So having had a few dogs in my lifetime, residents in my home, I discovered a few things about them, because I do a little reading about them, you know, what kind of makes them do what they do. And sometimes big dogs will tuck their tails and run away from a little dog. Well, that's kind of interesting, but it happens. And they've studied the behavior, and they say, conceptually, generally, dogs don't recognize size as a number one factor when it comes to intimidation. And we found that out with some of our toy poodles, remember? The one that we had and that would run over to the neighbor who had this big, massive dog and just go after that big dog and chase that dog and back into its yard. And his little toy poodle thought, I'm a giant. I'm not afraid of this dog, right? Their minds evidently don't discern the danger from a dog larger than they are. And they do recognize, though, and they do sense fear innately. They can pick up on that. So it's not the size of the dog in the fight that matters. It's the size of the fight in the dog that matters. And we're supposed to have a lot of fight in us. No matter how large or how small we are or where we fit into the plan of God, we know who made us, how he made us, and what he made us for. Come to the place where you stop downsizing God and magnify the Lord with me and exalt his name. Amen? And that'll work against this spirit of anxiety and intimidation that we've been made to feel and how that's come against us in a very oppressive manner, emanating not only from the enemy himself, but principalities using personalities to speak fear into the lives of so many people in our culture. This will work against all the anxiety you have. Magnify the Lord. Turn the lens where it needs to go. Well, Pastor, you just don't know the problems that I'm going through. So let's compare your problems and my problems, and let's just sit together and we'll have our own little problem party, right? Let's have a problem comparison and see if your problem is as bad as my problem. Some folk get together and they compare, and it's almost like they're trying to one-up each other and how bad things are in their life. You think, this is bad. Let me tell you about what I had to go through. Let me tell you about what the doctor told me. And it goes back and forth and back and forth, and then somebody inevitably will come along, and they'll listen to that for a while, and they'll drop the bomb on you and say, but I had a cousin who died from that, so guess what's going to happen to you? Right? I mean, I'm not interested in comparing problems. I want to compare God to the problem. Magnify the Lord, not the problem. And you ought to do that right here, right now. Amen? Don't just hear what I'm saying. Do what I'm saying. Don't buy stock in Satan Inc. because they have a bad CEO and he's a failure. And he's going to have a total collapse. He was in heaven as the worship leader. And everything Satan touches goes down. Everything he lays his hands to goes down. The next time after you read about him being the worship leader, he's been lowered in status. He's been lowered to the prince of the power of the air, kicked out of heaven. Next time you read about him, he's the God of this world, fallen down lower. The next time you read about him, God's word calls him Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies. Next time you read about him in the book of Revelation, he's in the bottomless pit. Ends up in the lake of fire. But Jesus is always on his way up. On the third day, he arose. On the 40th day, he ascended. It says, and the Father has highly exalted him and given him the name above every other name. Magnify the Lord with us because he's great. We're in a day when it's about to be showtime for the church. It really is. And I think even more importantly than calling it showtime, it's going to be flow time. For the flow of the Holy Spirit to work in the church like we haven't seen in decades across the world. Do you understand that God never intended for those Israelites to wander for 40 years and to die off? He already had a plan to beat those giants in place. All he wanted them to do was look through faith and to possess the land. Just look through the lens of faith, and I've helped you build your faith. Look at the miracles I performed to get you out of Egypt. Just look through the lens I gave you. And the word says in the book of Numbers, God prophesied, not only will I be there to fight with you, I will drive some of the inhabitants out with hornets. I mean, I'll unleash natural law against them. God intended to send swarms of hornets. I was thinking about that. And how brilliant. Because I don't care how big the giants are in any society, you put some hornets down that giant's pants. One hornet will drive out the biggest giant, I promise you. The Lord doesn't want you worried about anything, amen? He said, just tell the people, I'll send the hornets out, amen? I will send the hornets. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. I'll send hornets ahead of you. And when you get there, the food will be simmering on the table. You just have to walk in because I prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. You don't have to fight a lot, he said, but you have to fight some. I'll send hornets before, I'll drive out anything that stands in the way of my promise I've made to you in the covenant I have in your life. God is so much bigger. Magnify him. And if you'd start magnifying God, your fears will start to fade. All of a sudden, you realize, wow, he's bigger than this. He can fight for me. He'll give me the strength to fight when I need to step into the ring, right? Your anxiety will fade. You walk out of here, instead of being negative, and those of you that feel negative, you can walk out of here rejoicing, saying, Lord, I'm magnifying you. Yes. I'll never forget. My wife will tell you, I don't sleep long, I sleep soundly, very soundly. And one of those sound sleeps, it was one of those experiences that was more than a dream. It's an experience, you know you were there. And that, I hope that doesn't sound spooky to you, but I can tell you what I experienced. It wasn't a dream. I will make it a short, abbreviated version. As I stood before the Lord, he spoke to me and he said, over here on the other side of the ring is your adversary. And I want you to take him out. And I looked across the other side of the ring in the arena I was in, and I saw this creature. And there was still great beauty in him because he was a beautiful archangel. But there were scars and marks. And distortions, even in the beauty, that you could still see some of which in his countenance. Great power was his, and behind him were great forces of evil, supportive of him. And I looked back at the Lord and said, what am I going to do against him? And he said, look to me. And he took off the mantle he had and put it around my shoulders and said, now, you go in my power and nothing can stand against you. And so we set it headed for the center of the ring. And when I looked into the size and scope of this creature, and I looked to my left and my right, and there were two other great angels of the Lord, the other two of the three, one emanating the word of God that literally came out of every fiber of his being, and the other the warrior that leads all of heaven's armies, and his skin is not like skin. God created his skin to be a part of his being, armor and strength and power. So his weaponry was not attached to him, it was him. And both of them looked into the face of the third archangel who had fallen. And I looked back at them, and both of them looked both disappointed. Together, we had served the Lord, and disappointment in their faces. And then in their eyes, a moment of, but you are doomed to destruction because of your rebellion and the determination that we will not be swayed and do what you did and end up in your fate, looking out of the eyes of these magnificent creatures. And so in fear and trembling, I stood in the middle of that ring, and the adversary came at me, and I could hear the voice of Jesus just remind me, do this in my name. And I just lifted my hand and said, in the name of Jesus, and he fell. This collapsed. He was totally defeated, and there was a great expression of cheer and joy. And I humbly walked back to Jesus, and he said, in my power, with my strength, the enemy will not be able to stand against you. Magnify the Lord. Always magnify the Lord. Wasn't in my name, wasn't in my strength, wasn't in my ability. It was in the name of the Lord. Because at the name of the Lord, every knee bows, even Lucifer's, right? Jesus took mud pies he made out of his own spittle and put them into the empty eye sockets of a man born without eyes and created new eyes for him. You know what mud pies are? Stuff kids play with, right? God said, I can do more playing around with mud than the most sophisticated surgeon can do with all of his expertise. He reached down and he wrote in the sand and changed the destiny of a woman dabbling in earth's dirt. And the woman caught in an act of adultery, and they bring her and throw her down at the feet of Jesus. And I don't know what words he wrote because it's not recorded, but he took his finger and he began to write in the sand. And the word says he changed the woman's destiny and forgave her past. What could he do if you turn the lens around and you start seeing him in all of his splendor, magnificence, glory, and power? What could he do if he truly decided to touch you? Because you magnified his great power. He's mighty. He's all-powerful. He's ever-present. And you lift your hands toward heaven against your fears and intimidation and offer him some faith praise. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Not alone, together, it says. Wow, there's a brilliant little thought that God parked into the middle of that. Let us exalt his name together. Together, it's stronger when we're together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. How many? All of them. Fear of failure, fear of the future, fear of death, and all the fears, they have to go when you turn your lens around and magnify the Lord. Anyone engaged in a battle here today? Challenge, it seems huge. You're looking at the problems and you don't know how in the world I'll overcome them. You've been looking through the lens from the wrong end. God's on the other side, so small and distant because you're looking at him from the wrong perspective. If you're in that kind of a battle, discern this in the spirit. He's given us the promise that if we listened to his word and magnified him, he would set his people free. All anxiety, all fear, all intimidation. We need some praisers in God's family, some magnifiers. Some will pull out the magnification lenses. Well, what are my lenses? How do I know what to do? Where do I pick them up? Worship is the lens. Praise is the lens. The fear is coming off. The anxiety falls away. The sleeplessness exits the room. The restlessness comes off. Worry, you're not a worrier. You're a warrior. So you worship your great God. You got all the weapons you need. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He has done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds everything we understand, anything we understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You can leave here and allow worry to tear you to shreds, be filled with anxiety, or put on the garment of praise and see things begin to turn around, saying, God, you're able. God, you're mighty. God, you're powerful. Stress begins to break. Joy begins to return. Some of you are busy, been very busy, and you're tired of being busy. I was talking to some people in not only my line of work, but several other professions this past week, and it was kind of interesting when we were having the conversation, and they were telling me, man, I've never worked harder in my life. There are a lot of people, you know, they can't work or have restrictive work environments, and I'm working harder than ever. And I said, yeah, I understand what you're saying. I've never put in more hours than I'm putting in this last year, and I always work hard. She'll tell you, I'm a seven-day-a-week guy, and I don't know where I'm getting the more hours, but I've been putting in more hours. There's people who are busy, and you have a tired spirit. It's a busy, tired spirit. You need to learn how to be refreshed and renewed when you begin to see God for who He is in your life. Amen. A renewing like the eagles. You shall mount up with wings as eagles. You shall run and not grow weary. You shall walk and not faint. Thank God for the strength He provides us. Amen. Why don't you stand, raise your praise, and worship the Lord for a moment. Come on. Give Him the biggest shout of praise you can. Magnify the Lord. And here comes the result. He delivers you from all your fears. And I don't care what kind of fear it is or where it's coming from. He delivers us from all our fears. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.